You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org. This is a live recording from the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference.
I'm your host, Nicole Taylor, and you're listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We are recording live from the Roger Smith Hotel from the 2013 Roger Smith Cookbook Conference. I'm looking out on Lexington Avenue here in Midtown and sitting with my fabulous guest, Addie Broyles. Addie is a food writer and editor in Austin, Texas. Welcome to New York City and welcome
to
Hot Grease.
I just got off the airplane and the high was 80 degrees today in Austin, so I'm in for a shock.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I don't know if you brought like a big coat and boots because they're supposed to be a nor'easter.
I might have to go buy some stuff.
I think we're expecting like a foot of snow.
Oh my God. I haven't seen a foot of snow since I was about 5 years old.
So when I know you come to, this is definitely not your first time being in New York. Tell me about the energy you feel did you feel an energy when you got off?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has New York envy, myself included. And, you know, just it's so, in a way, disorienting because when you get off the plane, you go through all these trains and stations. I can't even tell you how many modes of transportation I took just now to get here. But then you get in and you get settled and you just sort of get into the groove. And it's wonderful because I always feel like the city embraces you, you know, even though I'm clearly a tourist walking around. But I don't know, the energy and enthusiasm is excellent.
It is. So this is the second year of the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference. I was here last year. Did you attend last year?
I was here last year, yes.
Okay, so what is your role this year at the conference?
So like last year, I am on a panel. I get to speak with the fine Joe Yonan. I was on his panel last year. And this year we're talking about trend spotting in the food space. And, you know, I love talking about all kinds of things, especially with regard to blogging and social media. And trends is something that I, you know, every day at my desk, all day long, I'm sorting through tweets and Facebook posts and cookbooks that are coming across my desk, trying to figure out what we're going to write and how we're going to respond to what everybody else is writing. And, you know, so I'll be talking to the other panelists and the people who are there just about how you can go about, you know, figuring out what's a trend versus a fad, whether or not you have to follow the trends, or sometimes you want to write something counter-trend, or sometimes if you want to just ignore it altogether because it doesn't necessarily support your ethical stance. For instance, skinny cocktails I'm not really that interested in and don't want to see that continue, so I don't write about it.
So I have to ask you, what are the trends for 2013? What do you think?
That's a good question.
I saw someone tweeting earlier, actually Kathy Blake, she was in one of the workshops earlier, and they were saying that cupcakes are going out of business, or they're out of style, and that donuts are in.
I think donuts are certainly in. I mean, I think Cake Pops had their pop-up last year, but I would say that that's a fad on the way out. You know, I think people are trying to figure out how they can eat healthy but still eat indulgently, and that's a fine line to walk. I think Brussels sprouts are still in vogue, as is kale. That's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Brussels sprouts is that's a trend.
You haven't seen those?
I mean, yeah, I have them. They're everywhere. They're on every menu. I didn't realize it was a trend.
Well, but that's the hard part is, you know, at what point does something that has been around for eons, you know, just because we're suddenly discovering it, does that mean it's a trend or does that mean we're just rediscovering it? And is that something that's going to last for a long time? Is it going to last for a year or two? You know, it's like with cupcakes. So it's a trend that's on the out. Does that mean people are going to stop eating cupcakes? I'm not going to stop eating cupcakes.
And the thing is, too, I mean, you mentioned earlier what's a fad and what's a trend. I mean, the cupcake thing, I've talked about it a million times here on Hot Grease. I just think it's kind of here to stay. I don't think, you know, a fad is kind of comes and goes and a trend. I think
the trends, you know, become part of modern culture.
Uh-huh.
And then we see them cycle, just like with fashion or, you know, music or movies. You know, you've got to cycle every 10 or 20 years and things suddenly come back in vogue.
So for food professionals who are listening to this or even attending conferences or the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference, what is the easiest way or how can people identify the next thing?
Well, you got to have your ears out, ears open, I should say. And if you're not on social media, that's a lot harder to do. I hate to say it, and I think social media is becoming so much part. part of the modern discourse that that's not a new conversation, but I think for some people it's still a sell because they just want to push their content and they don't want to listen. And so it takes time sitting there and being quiet and consuming information and reading blogs. I can't tell you how much I enjoy and therefore end up spending probably more time than I should going through my Google Reader and just seeing what people are blogging about. And you know, taking that all with a grain of salt and sort of trying to take a step back then once you've consumed all that information and think, okay, what's relevant? You know, what's relevant and worth writing about and what is not really relevant and worth writing about, mm-hmm. but people are talking about it anyway.
So your thoughts on new media in 2013. Just yesterday, I joined Vine.
Oh, fun.
And I'm like, okay, here's another one. I like this. This is kind of cool, Vine. Have you tried Vine?
I have. I have a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old, so that makes it pretty fun. I've actually seen that, you know, Vine is like popular with kids, people who have kids and pets because they're moving so quickly. I've also seen some interesting things that people are trying to do with food, but I've said, you know, 6 seconds, which is how long the videos are for Vine, it's either too long or too short.
So we have to tell folks, how would you describe Vine? Because at this point, I don't know how to describe
it. So it's 6 seconds of a video. So videos can only be 6 seconds long, and you record them in an app. And the hook, and I didn't realize this till somebody showed it to me, is that you actually press pause and start in the app. And so essentially you can do stop motion.
Yeah.
So you can film for a millisecond and then move the camera and do something else, continue the filming for another few milliseconds, and then suddenly you have 6 seconds. But, you know, in some ways I kind of want to reject this frenetic, you know, suddenly our life, you know, we had to go from, you know, telling stories in, you know, in long form journalism or whatever to now, you know, 140 characters is what we have to tell our stories in. And so now does that mean that our lives are limited to 6 second bursts?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, I use Pinterest. I'm a huge fan of Pinterest. And the way I describe Pinterest is it's really my brand on boards. Mm-hmm. So you really can go to Pinterest and really see a visual of my brand. I was thinking like last night, like, how can food people really use Vine in a way that's just not another thing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I, you know, I've seen people trying to do recipes in Vine, but, you know, it's like I never really got Twitter recipes because I just don't think that people want a recipe crammed into that space. And I don't think there's a, you know, we're not all sitting around saying, hey, I'm really missing in my life a 6 second recipe. Can you give that to me?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but you can check out my video.
But we're going to play around with it, and that's the fun thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I try really hard to embrace, you know, because when Twitter first came out, I said the same thing, like, oh, who can tell anything worth reading in 140 characters? And now I live, breathe, and die by 140 characters. But, you know, with Vine, I'll play around and see what comes out with it.
What else do you see in 2013 captivating people beyond Vine?
Oh, man. Good question.
In terms of social media.
Well, you know, I am in love with blogging as ever. I mean, I feel like blogging is will continue to become mainstream in a way that our mothers and our grandmothers and our, you know, people who weren't necessarily on the cutting edge of blogging will finally realize that it's the barrier to entry is so low that they too can tell their story. And you know, and I think that the building the communities between bloggers and sort of just getting people accustomed to that kind of online, you know, basically the online community. I mean, I just really do think about my mom started a blog last year, and
I was so
proud of her because, you know, she's living in the Midwest and she's a baby boomer with an empty nest, but she's a writer and she has stories to tell, but she never thought of herself as a blogger. You know, she kind of scrunched her nose at that word even. So so I would like to see us continue to do that. So, you know, as for cutting edge apps and things like that, you know, nothing comes to mind per se. But
I think what I'm hearing you saying is that back to basics with great content mm-hmm. is something that will dominate 2013.
Well, and hopefully what we will see is exactly that, you know, we talk about that, you know, content, if it's not good content, people aren't going to buy it or go visit the page or consume it in some way. But I think as more players come onto the scene, we're seeing a lot of fluff and you know, then you get into aggregation and you get into sort of borrowing of other people's content. And you know, I'm hoping that 2013 is the year when we start to really identify who are the content creators and who are the content copiers and embrace and support the people who are creating the content.
Mm. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back with more Addie Broyles. keep listening. Welcome back to Hot Grease. We are broadcasting, recording live from the Roger Smith Hotel located in Midtown Manhattan. It's actually on the corner of Lexington. And what's that, Addie? Are we? Is this 47?
46th
Street. We're at the 2013 Roger Smith Cookbook Conference. And here in our pop-up studio, we have Addie Broyles. She's a writer and editor based in Austin, Texas. Which, I forget the name of the paper.
So I write for the Austin American Statesman, which is the daily newspaper there. And I started about 5 years ago. And the food section has become my baby. And when I first started, it was to basically do the cooking column that was focused on grocery stores and farmers markets. My job has expanded to restaurant coverage in recent years, but I don't review restaurants.
Okay. And what else? I know, you know, when I think about Austin, I think about this time of year, next month, you know it. South by Southwest.
It's coming. You can't stop that train.
It's coming. And I just, you know, I've never been.
We got to get you to come. You need to stay at my house. I'll let you stay at my house.
I need to come because, you know, I follow all the tweets and I see people are like going crazy around the food stuff. And not even the South by Southwest food panels, but more so the side events. I know Matt Timms, who used to have a show here on Heritage Radio Network and always on the network. He's done like a few takedowns.
He does the bacon takedown every year. This is his fourth year coming to South by Four.
Oh, wow. Yeah, what other cool food happenings are happening?
Well, a couple years ago, they had a big cheese carving event.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, Food Spotting has done a trailer park. You know, pop-up trailer park, essentially. This year, Paul Key, who is our Top Chef winner, he's getting ready to open up his Key restaurant, is what they're going to call it, here in the next couple of weeks, that he's actually curating a trailer park near South by Southwest. So people are really excited about that. But so food trailers are clearly on people's minds. But, you know, a lot of times there's cocktails. You know, they've had cocktail competitions. They've had, you know, everything under the sun.
So what tips would you give for people that are coming and they're trying to navigate the Austin food scene? They're coming during South by Southwest.
Well, there's South by Southwest Free Noms is one of my favorite Twitter handles because he is on top of where the free food is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've even heard about
that. That makes me think long lines.
Yeah, sometimes there are long lines. I mean, I think the most important thing about tackling South by Southwest is coming up with a schedule for the panels that you want to attend, realizing that you're not going to go to all those panels, but that it's a guide to help you go through the week. Mm-hmm. And then be spontaneous. And if you meet somebody really cool between panels and think, God, we just really need to go have a drink and continue this conversation because this is more valuable than whatever we're going to learn in the next panel, go for it.
So, Addie, we have to talk cookbooks.
I love it.
I have a few questions about cookbooks. First being, right now, rising star in the cookbook world, author.
That is a tough question.
I know.
Question.
I've asked everyone that today, and they're like,
and nobody wants to answer, do they?
One person.
Really?
One person answer with the one person.
Well, I'm going to do, like, the Time Magazine thing when they say the person of the year is you, or I'm going to say
no. I don't have a cookbook.
The cookbook author of the year is the blogger. And then this, we've been seeing this happen, but this year it is exploding. Half the books coming across my desk easily are coming from people who started out with food blogs. And I am blown away by that. I think that's really exciting. I know that that's frustrating for people who've made their bread and butter writing cookbooks for many years. But I'm just glad that there's a cookbook industry out there that not only supports these new content creators, but an audience who, you know, is willing to buy a print product even though they were online readers before.
And when you think about your cookbook collection, your favorites and the ones that influence you the most?
Now, this is a question I can't answer. I always say this one I can, because Mark Bittman's How to Cook Everything. I that book, when I first got it, it's suddenly, maybe it just fit with how I cook, which is, you know, here's a basic recipe and then here are six other, you know, ways that you can tweak it and make it into something totally different. And there are 2,000 of those recipes, and literally it's How to Cook Everything. So that's the book that I always tell people to buy for weddings or what have you. But, you know, I have a Martha Stewart Cooking School book that I actually really like.
People give Martha a hard time, but I must say, I love Martha's cookbooks. They're like well thought out and the recipes work.
My thinking on her has certainly changed in recent years. And to be honest, it's the same way with Sandra Lee and Paula Deen and Rachel Ray, is that these are serious business owners who are in charge of multi-million dollar corporations. And as women, we need to support that. I mean, sure, we might not necessarily cook that way, and we might not necessarily agree with everything they say, but the fact that they have made, you know, in many of their cases, sort of from scratch, built up some empire, that's something at least worth our respect.
And another question around cookbooks. I'm always, you know, you get a lot of cookbooks on your desk. I get a lot in the mail. But what cookbooks are you most excited about that are coming out this year or that you know people are writing right now and you're like, ah, can't wait
for that.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually a little bit of a slow time. You know, after the holidays, I certainly notice a slight decrease in quality and frequency in the books coming out. But what I'm really excited about is that in Austin, we are seeing, within the next year, there are going to be no fewer than 5 books coming out from Austin food bloggers. And all of them have ties with the Austin Food Blogger Alliance, which is a group helped start. The Food Blogger Alliance itself, we're doing a community cookbook that will come out in April. And that has been a pet project of mine over the past year, just, you know, getting recipes from bloggers and getting stories and photos, basically to honor the longstanding tradition of community cookbooks and kind of help bring that into the 21st century. But then also our members, we have Mondo Rayo, he does tacojournalism.com. He's doing a breakfast taco cookbook. We've got a beer book coming out from the fine ladies who do a website called Bitch Beer. We have, I mean, just we have a Trailer Food Diaries from Tiffany Harlick. She's another local author, blogger turned author. So all those books are going to be coming out here in the next year.
Just like Brooklyn, Austin keeps on ticking, huh?
That's right.
Just like the Brooklyn food scene. So we're in February, and I will say, you know, I've been following you a while on Twitter, but I remember last year around about this time, I was doing some research on Black cooks and chefs in the White House, and the first thing that popped up is an article that you wrote about Zephra Wright. Tell folks who Zephra Wright is.
So Zephra Wright was the family cook for the Johnson family before LBJ took office, and so she cooked for them out at their family ranch near Johnson City, Texas, which is just west of Austin. And she had become a member of their family, she and her husband. And when the whole family moved to the White House, she went with them. And she was an important part of the girls' lives growing up, and wrote many of the recipes that became beloved traditions for the Johnson family. And how I stumbled upon her was her chili recipe, which, of course, is credited to Lady Bird Johnson, but it was actually her recipe, is one of the most frequently requested recipes to ever come out of the White House.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's a very simple, I mean, it is ground beef and spices, and that's
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
And what I also found very interesting about her, I just became fascinated about her, that she was actually a college-educated woman who became a housekeeper and then a cook. But a lot of people, one of the persons that I interviewed earlier was saying that she probably was the most influential person in President Lyndon Baines Johnson's life in terms of the Civil Rights Act, and they were
I
so
had
close
heard
to her.
This. I didn't know that she was. Do you know what she studied?
I think she studied home economics from Wiley College or University that's actually in Texas.
Oh, wow.
But yes.
I had heard that too, that she had sort of, you know, said to him, this is something that you need to do.
Yeah. And they said that the story goes like this. When he signed the Civil Rights Act, she was standing right there.
I've heard this. And didn't he give her the pen?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'd love to know. You know, the LBJ Presidential Library just underwent this huge restoration and renovation, and they have all these new exhibits, but I haven't had a chance to go yet. But I've been curious about what the food elements are, and perhaps if her story is told maybe more completely.
I would think so.
Yeah.
So thank you for writing that article, and I'm glad that I discovered that.
Yeah, you
know,
that was
a great read for folks who want to, you know, celebrate Black History Month by reading that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I'm always trying to find stories that I just don't, you know, history behind food is, I really hate to think of us losing stories that help get us to where we are. And if we just sort of talk about trends all day long, we forget about the pioneers who came before us. So
totally.
It's hard to balance that. But
Addie, thank you so much for stopping by the pop-up studio here at the Roger Smith cookbook conference. I appreciate it. We have to get you to Roberta's next time.
Heck yeah.
Have to get you to Roberta's.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thanks so much. And for folks who want to follow you on the Twitters and all that.
Sweet. I am at Broyles A. My last name, Broyles A.
There you have it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, iTunes, and Stitcher for more. Visit our website, heritageradionetwork.org, for all of our 30-plus weekly podcasts. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.